Thanks be to God, and thank you for ushering us into this holy time of worship. It is my joy to welcome all of you to this hour of worship together, whether you are joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary. We have already experienced the Spirit of Christ in our midst, and I'm glad to be with you. I would like to invite you to take this time to register your attendance. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser that should be there on the screen. And here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row that you can pass down the way and back again. Also, if you're high-tech and would like to use your phones, there's a QR code in the bulletin. And if you scan that QR code, it will take you to several links to register your attendance, to share prayer concerns, to make your offerings, to get in touch with us. RSVP for the Pancake Supper and so forth. So feel free to use that QR code for that. If you are a college student or a graduate student here in the Nashville area, we want to invite you to lunch. There's always a lunch after the 11 o'clock worship for our local students. The group will gather in the back of the church, what we call the narthex, and walk together to some place close by, and it will be the church's treat. So just an opportunity for you all to fellowship together. We are on the cusp of the season of Lent. It begins on Wednesday, and in preparation for that, one of our great traditions here at West End is the Tuesday night, Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper and Jazz Mass. If you have never been to this before, please come this year. It is a ton of fun, and it's a great thing to invite neighbors and friends and visitors to. We'll gather for Pancake Supper at 5. We would appreciate RSVPs just to know how much pancake mix to prepare, but if you don't RSVP, show up anyway. We'll have plenty of food. We'll be taking donations to support our young adult ministry, and then at 6:30, we'll gather in here and online for our Jazz Mass, and you are in for a celebratory service of worship. The next day is Ash Wednesday, the first day of the season of Lent. We will worship here at noon and also at 6:15, very similar services. You can choose one or the other, either in person or online. And then there's more information in the bulletin about the whole season of Lent and opportunities for spiritual growth, for study, for service, and we hope you will sign up for some of those things. This Sunday, the church has established the tradition that before the season of Lent begins, on the Sunday before, we celebrate the transfiguration of Christ. So we are invited, along with Peter, James, and John, to travel up the mountain with Christ this morning and experience him in all of his glory. So let us worship together.
Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Lord, you revealed your glory on the mountain to your disciples. Show us your glory. Reveal to us the light of your countenance as we worship you this day. Show us your glory. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Radiant God, source of light, as you surrounded Jesus with your glory, so you come to us in penetrating brightness. You catch us off guard and expose our weaknesses. For the times we seek the spectacular, call us to acts of mercy and justice. When it is easier to create safety nets and hoard you for ourselves, remind us that your love knows no bounds. Where we have sought to limit you, expand our imaginations. Move our hearts from the temporal to the eternal, so we may carry your good news into all the corners. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Jennifer and Justin Burkmeyer bring their son before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Jennifer and Justin, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you now these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will.
We will.
And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with the community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those in the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and on this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen.
Come see me. Hey, buddy. Hi.
And what name have you given your son?
Wells Martin.
Wells Martin Burkmeyer. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ, the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and will be your friend and comforter and advocate all the days of your life. Okay, Wells Martin, we're going to move a little bit closer to Mom and Dad and your godparents and your big sister, and he's smiling at the choir, and we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Wells Martin, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Yeah, you sure? Just grab away, grab away. Come on, Wells Martin, let's go take a walk. Because this is your church family, and they want to see you a little more closely. And they are about to make a really important promise to you. They're promising to do their part to help you grow in your faith, to help you learn about how much God loves you, to help you figure out how you're called to serve God in the world. Some of them may teach you Sunday school, may teach you to play those really shiny handbells. One of them might even be your confirmation mentor. So let's listen together as they make their promise to you.
Will the congregation please open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome, stand, and face Wells Martin. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Wells Martin to your love and your care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given to you, Wells Martin, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
In the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Gospel, Mark 9, 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, is it good for us to be here? Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Word of God for the people of God.
Invite all the grown-ups to be seated and any children who would like to come forward to come and join me up here. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. Good morning, Grace. Good morning. Good morning. Look like you're dressed for Valentine's Day. That's this week, isn't it? Come on up, everybody. So glad to see you. Come on down. All right, welcome, welcome. We just heard a really amazing story. Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they walked up a mountain to pray. And while Jesus was praying, his clothes became dazzling white. He began to shine, and his face was glowing, and the disciples were just amazed at what they were seeing. And they realized that, you know, this friend named Jesus that they'd been walking and talking with and following was more than just their friend. He was the Son of God, and he was shining in a way they had never seen before. You know, we talk in church about how all of us, everybody, is created in the image of God, that we all have God's light in us. And that means that we shine too. So I want us to take a minute to just imagine that everybody in the room is shining. So everybody out there, I want you to smile really big like you're shining. And all of us, let's look out there and you smile like you're shining and look and see everybody shining with the love of God. Isn't that beautiful? And that helps me remember when I go to the grocery store on Monday, or when I'm sitting in traffic on Tuesday and I'm kind of grumpy, I can look around at every person and see they're shining because God loves them and God loves you too. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you have created us, that you love us, and that we are your children, and that you are in our hearts so that we can shine your love to the rest of the world. Help us when we look at other people to see they're shining too with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go shine in Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Miss Molly, and the rest of us can go back and sit with parents or friends. If you all receive our Friday emails, if you don't, by the way, it's really easy to sign up. Just go to the QR code. I think you can do it there. But if you receive the Friday emails, you know that a week ago Friday, I shared a link with you to a concert that I got to attend while I was down at Candler School of Theology in Atlanta. It wasn't so much a concert as it was an informance. Dr. Jimmy Abingdon was leading us. He is a professor of music and worship at Candler. And he called it an informance because it was not just singing and performing music. It was also a teaching time. And he was talking us through the history of some of the hymns and how in the history of the Black church, there had been some hymns that had come from the English church and other places that the Black church had adapted and assimilated to their experiences and stories. And then the second half of the informance was about hymns and sacred songs that were composed by Black composers. And it was informative and a great performance, but even more than an informance, it was a worship service. I looked around as we were singing together, and I saw all of these different kinds of folks and different life experiences, and we were all singing, and we were all embodied and clapping and worshiping God with full voice. And I thought, this is a glimpse of the kingdom of God. This is a taste of heaven. This is a glimmer of glory. This is a thin place. Jesus takes his disciples to a thin place. They go up the mountain together, Peter, James, John, and Jesus. And this amazing thing happens while Jesus is praying. Heaven and earth move closer together. The veil is lifted for just a few moments, and the disciples can see Jesus in all his eternal glory. And alongside of Jesus are Elijah and Moses, two of the people that the Jews believed were living alive with God in heaven, also representing the law and the prophets. And here they are seeing their teacher, their rabbi, their Messiah, fulfilling all of the scriptures and shining with the glory of God like they had never seen him shine before. It was a thin place, a holy moment. And then, of course, Peter, being Peter, has to say something. Mark tells us that these three disciples were terrified and that Peter didn't know what to say. But it didn't stop him from saying something. He says, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." Thanks, Peter. Hot take. This is indeed a good experience. He had this urge to put a name on it, to put a label on it, to try and capture it. And then he goes on to say, "Let us make three dwellings, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for you. Let's put you guys in a tent. Let's put you in a box. Let's stay up here together. Let's keep this moment for ourselves as long as we possibly can." I don't know about you, but I can see myself in Peter. If we have these moments, these glimpses of the holy, these experiences that we can't even put into words, there's an urge within us to name it, to put it in a box, to hold on to it, as our hymn said, to this urge to stay on top of the mountain and never leave. But that's not what happened. As Peter was speaking, a cloud descends upon them, the cloud of presence, the cloud of mystery. It's as if God is saying, "Shh." And then a voice says, "This is my son. Listen to him." Now, I don't know why this happened in this moment on Jesus' journey, but I wonder if this happened at just the right time for just the right people. Jesus had begun to teach his disciples that suffering was coming, that he was going to be going to Jerusalem, that he would be opposed by the authorities, and that he would be killed, and on the third day rise again. And we enter into this part of Mark's gospel where he is continuously teaching them and instructing them about this. And I wonder why Peter, James, and John were invited to go with Jesus up the mountain. And I think this gives us a clue. Because as Jesus begins talking about his suffering and preparing them, these are the three disciples that seem to struggle the most with it, at least in the way Mark is telling the story. In chapter 8, right before this episode, Jesus had said, "I'm going to be killed, I will rise again on the third day," and Peter pulls him aside and rebukes him. Mark doesn't tell us what the exchange between them was, but Peter seems to be uncomfortable with this idea of Jesus suffering and Jesus dying. It doesn't gel with his idea of what the Messiah ought to be. He doesn't want Jesus to suffer. He doesn't sound like that's the right path for Jesus. And so Jesus rebukes Peter and tries to make it clear that there is no other way, that this path comes with suffering. The path of vulnerable love will lead to suffering. So Peter's wrestling with that. And then in the chapter after this episode, we find out that James and John are arguing with each other about who is the greatest. They don't get it either. They're all obsessed with power over others and who's on top. And so maybe it's because these three don't get it that Jesus takes them up the mountain. Maybe they need a little remedial training. Or maybe they need some reassurance. Maybe they need to see Jesus in all of his power and glory to be able to get through what they're about to go through. Maybe they need this memory to hold on to so that when the suffering comes, when they get into the thick of it, they will remember the thin place. That's what this story reminds us of, is that we are from time to time ushered into these thin places, to these experiences of the eternal, of the universal love of God, or however, whatever words we try to put on these kinds of experiences, so that when we come back down the mountain, when we get back into our daily lives and the work of following Jesus, we'll know where we're headed. We'll know that all shall be well. After Thursday's concert in Atlanta, my soul was full. And I was inspired by the hope of the kingdom of God, the beloved community that is possible, that we can live into together. And then on Tuesday of this week, I got to go to a workshop with Dr. Jamar Tisby, who's a historian, a theologian, a writer. He gave a talk at Brentwood United Methodist Church. There were like 450 people there. It was amazing turnout. And he was talking about a book that he's written called The Color of Compromise and his new book, How to Fight Racism. And as he was talking with us, he said, we need to remember that sins like racism are sins, and like any other sin, sins don't go away. We still have people who murder. We still have people who steal. We still deal with the sins of racism and discrimination in all its different forms. And so it means we must continue to be committed to the sustained day-to-day work of justice. It's not a one and done. And so it was a reminder to me that we need the thin places and the signs of hope and the signs of God's presence to fill us up in the thin places so we can get back to work in the thick of it. So what are your thin places? Not everyone has had those kinds of experiences, and I would remind us that there were 3 out of 12 disciples who went up the mountain with Jesus. They didn't all get this experience of transfiguration. But for many of us, we can point to certain moments when our hearts have been filled, when we've been lifted up, we've gotten a glimpse of God's vision for the world. My hope and my prayer is that this time, this space, every Sunday morning could be a thin place for us together. When we gather on Tuesday mornings as the staff to prepare for worship, to go over the liturgy and to get prepared for Sunday morning, our prayer together is that God would help us do our best in whatever role we have, for the choir rehearsing, the handbells practicing, me studying for the sermon, the liturgist preparing, all of the different pieces that go into worship, so that we might get ourselves out of the way and make room for the Spirit to move in our midst, for us to feel as if God has ushered us into this time and that the veil has been lifted, that we can get a glimpse of the kingdom when we worship together. Now, I confess it is easy to approach worship as a habit, to look at coming to a worship service and look for the music that suits our tastes, to hope that the preacher will say things that reinforce the opinions that we already have, that we will connect with people we already know. It's comforting to step into these routines. But my friends, everywhere else in the world, we can go and be reinforced in what we already think and believe. We can stay on our news channels. We can follow the algorithms on social media. We can hang out with the friends we pick and choose who agree with us and look like us. But church ought to be a place where we come to be stretched and changed. Many years ago, I heard a theologian say, and I cannot remember who it was, but he said, wouldn't it be something if out in front of our churches we said, come join us for worship. You never know what will happen. If we came expecting to be surprised and hoping to be changed. I was talking with a member of our church who just joined in the past couple of years, and he said to me, Carol, this church is changing me. And I know as we talked about it, what he meant was, because of my experiences in this congregation, God is changing me. I am being changed. I am being transfigured in this thin place. Now, to be sure, God is everywhere. There are thin places out at Radnor Lake, out in traffic, out at parties, maybe even at the bar across the street. The veil is always just about to be lifted wherever we are. But my friends, my prayer is that for us as a congregation, we can gather for worship each week and taste the kingdom of God and be filled and shaped and renewed so that when the time comes to go back into the thick of it, we will shine.
I invite you to stand and join me in the affirmation of faith as printed in your bulletin as we respond to the word spoken. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to have a seat. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up your prayer concerns, both silent and spoken. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team for us to pray for throughout the week, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that can be placed in the plates as they're passed during the offertory. We also have a link on our website that you can click on and leave those for us throughout the week. I want to invite you to take note of the prayer requests as they're printed in your bulletin. There are a few that we want to especially remember today. We want to mourn with our beloved church family, offering comfort as we seek the Lord for peace in the lives of Jerry and Sue Ishii and family, who are mourning the death of Jerry's father, Jerry Irvin Ishii, who passed away on February 4th in Mississippi. Services were held on February 9th in Ridgeland, Mississippi. We also pray and offer condolences to the Rader family as they prepare for the memorial services for our beloved Jewel McGee Rader, which has been set for Sunday, March 17th at 2 p.m. in the sanctuary. Visitation will follow in the Reed Hall. And we also, as we see a rose on the altar, want to celebrate with Madeline and Dan Frankemont in the birth of their son, Lowell William Frankemont, who was born on February 3rd. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. Lord, today we celebrate your never-ending light. We celebrate the lengths you go to share that light with us, urging us to enjoy it, to bask in it, to be changed by it, and to share it. We lift up our voices thanking you for your presence in our lives through your Holy Spirit. We give thanks for coming to be with us, descending from the place you promised to us to offer us a glimpse of the love and grace you pour on us daily. You are the creator and sustainer, the author of all life, and the one who brings restoration and wholeness to all of your creation. You are the source of a full life that goes on into eternity. We acknowledge our limited sight and understanding, but recognize that you seek to pour your whole self into us. Your desire is that we be continually formed into your likeness, living an eternity of experiencing you. As we gather today in this thin place, our hearts are warmed by your presence and our lives are changed forever. May all that we offer you in worship to draws us closer to you and causes your light to shine in all the dark places. May those around us see a glimpse of your love and mercy as we interact with them. May they be drawn to you in a way that opens their eyes to see the need for you and to understand your love for them. As we come in prayer today, Lord, we lift those things that occupy our hearts and minds, the things we would label good, the things we would label bad, and the things that are in between. God, in our restlessness and in our joy, we take this time to present to you our prayers. Our prayers for our family and friends, for our community, for our local, state, and national governments. Lord, we lift up our world. We lift up those that suffer because of injustice. And we rejoice with those that rejoice because of ingenuity and discovery. We pray for those among us that are working through treatment of body, mind, and soul. And God, we lift up ourselves. As we share these deep desires that lie within our hearts and minds, we seek to trust in your grace, a grace that surrounds us even when we don't know it, a grace that leads us to realize our need for you, and a grace that helps us to become all you have created us to be. And it's with that trust in your grace that we now pray in unity the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite us now to offer and gather our gifts together and give them over to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to all of us.
as we go from this place, may we know that it may just be that we are called to be a thin place for others. Go forth with that calling. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.